all I need to know about you.
That's 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 all I need to know about you. Starting at 9.9, it's Anna and Raven. You just have to fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. If you play the guess how old I am game, that is all I need to know about you. I hate that. And when did I become so bad at that game? When people, you know, you meet strangers and somehow it comes up and they're like, guess how old I am.
No, I hate that.
I never know.
Here's the thing.
I have no clue.
Here's the thing. This is a losing game for everybody. First off, as the guesser, all right, you've got two choices, all right? You go for the real guess, okay, which is always going to be higher than they anticipate because when they say guess how old I am, that immediately implies that they believe that they look younger than they actually are.
Exactly.
And you're a smart person, so you would round up the estimate if you were really going for the money.
I just freeze.
Now, you have to be a giving person,
right.
And now you go, you shoot low, and it's too low to be realistic.
You're lying.
Now, they might enjoy it, but the person that's walking with them goes, oh, this again, and yo, she's lying to you.
Why do people do that? Oh, guess how old I am. You know what? I have no clue. And you know what I've realized? Even when I try to look at strangers and determine how old they are now, I have no clue. Because I look at myself, and I think I look like same as I do when I'm 25 years old.
Right.
But then I look at 25-year-olds, and I think that they are tweens.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure.
No, I get that. That happens at a certain age, too. No, I get that. They all look 12 to me. That's what I always say. I'm like, you're 12. That's what I say.
I hear that quite often.
Right?
Well,
like
you do
five
look
times
12,
a day. He does look 12.
If you met a 12-year-old that looked like me, that's a problem.
It's not like it's a great skill to guess people's age. I mean, carnival barkers
are doing it.
If you dedicated some time to it, I think that you could probably... You know what I'm terrible at that everybody else is good at? It's guessing how big of a container I need to put away leftovers.
Oh.
I look at like a thing of rice or some beans or some veggies or whatever left over for dinner, and I look at it and I think I need like a garbage pail to put it in.
Oh.
And it's like a spoon.
You know what?
It's so I can't even justify it. It's so ridiculously bad.
I'm the opposite.
You're always too tight.
I'm always too tight, and then I have to. Then I get upset.
You're gonna throw some out.
No, you either have to throw it out, or
you
have to wash the container and get another container. And now that I'm annoyed that I've added to the dish pile by under measuring.
You're so angry at yourself. Right.
And why do people always and the people that guess the age thing? Going back to that because clearly this is an issue I've had in the last 24 hours.
Right.
Is when people volunteer your age to guess how old you are when you're not playing the game.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
You need to know that information.
And they're going high.
Always.
There's no respect. They're not giving.
You're 50.
There has been three situations in the last 6 months where somebody's like, how old are you? 44?
Yeah.
And I'm like, and when you're 39,
so mad. Right.
You're like, I'm still in my 30s.
You want to be below the 40
number.
You know,
it's only a few months left, but still.
No.
You're still there.
I get what you're saying.
That's all I need to know about you. All right, 1-800-330-9999. You fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you.
As an adult, it's never a good look when you get into an argument with three teenagers in a Walmart parking lot.
Can't win that one, man.
But
I did. Can't win that one publicly.
But I did.
Yeah.
Yep, it happened. Starting at 9.9, it's Anna and Raven. Fridays are never good for me because I'm always exhausted by the end of the work week. But
sure.
I picked up my daughter from school, and we had to run a couple errands. So we headed to Walmart. And we pull into Walmart, and we pull into a parking spot. There was a lady in the car next to me that was waiting for me to pull in so she could pull out.
Sure.
She pulls out, and I wait. She pulls out. I go to open my door, and a car flies into the spot. It was so fast, and my door slams against this car.
No, it's not like the front of the car caught your door. Like, they're already in the parking space as your door was already motion opening, so it hits the side of his car?
It hit, like, where the light is. Like, you know, like the front.
Okay, so it hit the front bumper.
Yeah, it came in and hit my door.
Right,
you know? I'm like, I jumped.
Sure.
And Hayden, my 10-year-old in the back seat, screamed because it was a major impact. And then I took a breath.
Was it a major impact?
Oh, it was like loud.
Okay.
It was boom.
Right.
And I was like, I thought there was going to be massive damage to one of our cars at least.
Okay.
So I get out and already, like I said, I'm tired and not in the best of moods.
Sure.
And I look.
Everybody gets upset when something happens with their property.
And all I keep thinking, I'm like, why? And I look and I go, why is this person flying into a spot so fast? What I've noticed about having another baby is that I have become like the street police.
Everything is slower down.
Why is everybody going so fast?
Right.
Why did you run that red
light?
Just
be patient. Right. Just be patient.
There's children in this car.
I'm paranoid. Right.
So I get out and I'm holding down my anger and I look and it's three teenagers in the car.
Okay.
And the driver jumps out and he goes to look at his car. And I say to him, I go, why were you possibly driving that fast pulling into a parking spot?
And starts with an accusation.
Well, he looked at me.
I got to tell you, you're more in-depth on the storytelling than you are when I was just high-fiving you earlier.
Well, no. because it was so fast. And he goes to me, he goes, it's your fault for not looking at when you were opening your car door. I go, I looked. I waited for that car to pull out. Yeah. I was perfectly aware. So now I take a deep breath. And I'm like, Anna,
you try and breathe it out.
You can't.
You try and breathe it out. Because your first reaction was Zumba. Zumba kick. Oh. Zumba kick right to the kick.
My first reaction was I was going to boil over.
Right.
Because he came out with an attitude. But I was like, I looked at his car. There was no damage on his car. Uh-huh. I looked at my car. There was no damage on my car. I said, okay. So he starts coming over. He goes, I'm going to need your name, license, registration, and phone number.
There's nothing like a kid who's like 17 years old talking to you like he's 50 and knows everything about the world.
That was it. That was it. I lost my mind. I started like yelling. I'm like, call the cops right now.
Right.
I think he expected suburban mom to like back up and be kind. I wasn't.
He's a young man, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I was like, you don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
I go, you think you're just going to call my insurance and demand money? I'm like, that's not how it works.
Right.
I'll tell you what happened next because it got a little tricky. It's coming up on Star 99.9. If you missed it a few minutes ago, I was talking about the fact that I pulled into a Walmart parking spot and the car that was parked next to me pulled out. I opened my door and three teenagers flew into the spot so fast that my door slammed against their car.
One was driving, not all three of them like in a toboggan. It was an actual vehicle.
Yeah, so the driver gets out and at first I'm calm and then I'm not calm because even though there's no damage to either of our cars, he starts demanding my phone number, my name, my license, and my insurance information.
Should a teenager ever be able to speak to an adult with their hands on their hip?
And then I lost my mind.
Right.
Because I was like, I tried to keep it together.
Volcano and a zap.
Raven's experienced Volcano Anna Zapp. It's not pretty. And that kid, I go, listen, we're going to call the cops. And he's like, you're the one at fault. And I'm like, no, you're the one at fault.
Oh, accusations flying here. It's a messy situation.
So who was right in this situation? We're going to talk to Cop Kelly coming up next on Star 99.9. Getting into an argument with three teenagers is never a good look, but here we are. Star 99.9, it's Anna and Raven.
When you get into an accident, nobody feels like they're the person at fault. But Anna, we got to get to the bottom of who's actually going to end up paying for something like this.
Cop Kelly, here's what went down. I was at the Walmart parking lot up on Route 7 in Norwalk. Pull into a spot, and the car next to me was pulling out. She pulls out of the spot. I open my door, and three teenagers recklessly pull into the spot at high speed. My door slams against their car.
Ooh.
I get out. My first reaction was anger.
Right.
But
I'm going to pop this kid.
Yeah, but then I'm like, they're teenagers. Like, they're going to learn a lesson.
Natural.
But this kid got out with his hands on his hips. He demanded my name, my phone number, and my insurance. I then lost my mind and went off. I am in a parked car. You're in a moving car. You flew into this parking spot. Who is right in this situation?
I tried to explain to her that it doesn't matter what you say because it's private property, but she doesn't believe me.
There's truth to that. It's a private property, so when it's a parking lot, and we're at that parking lot all the time for that type of situation,
mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it does fall under private property, so we don't find who's at fault ever. We still come. We do the police report, and we don't determine fault because it's private property. We can't. However, the way the police report is written, most insurance companies, once they get a copy of the report and they read the narrative, it's pretty easy for them to establish who they feel was at fault.
Well, this feels like there's open snarkiness in your police report. Is that true, Cop Kelly? Are you snarky in your police report? Are you snarky?
I wouldn't quite use that word, but I try to help people. I like to help people.
Oh, but you help good people and you let bad people go by the wayside.
I mean, it's more, we know who's at fault here. It's pretty obvious, but I can't technically say that. But in terms of somebody demanding you to give any information out, that is not okay. You don't have to listen to anybody. Unless a police officer gets there, then of course they're going to ask for your name, your insurance. That's what the police do. Nobody has to just hand over their information to somebody that you don't even know that just hit your car.
I picked up my phone immediately to call the police. I'm never going to file a report. There's nothing wrong with my car. But I want to teach this kid a lesson about how to behave in situations like this.
Right. Can you guys come and hit him with your baton?
That's what I was hoping for.
Right.
But as soon as I started calling, he started getting all nervous. And he's like, no, you don't have to call the police. And then I felt bad because I'm like, they're just kids.
Oh, no.
You know?
We can't do the baton thing, obviously. But we would have come out and instructed the juveniles on the proper protocol for a parking lot accident.
So he is at fault because he's in the moving car, right?
I can't say that. I can let people put two and two together. It's pretty obvious who's at fault, but because it happened on private property, we don't do that.
Yeah, okay. And if you've ever seen Anna park, I mean, this all comes into question.
You know what the funny part is?
What? It was your best parking job ever at that moment.
I was right in the lines. I was parked so well.
Forgive me if I don't believe you because I park next to you every day.
No. When I go to Walmart, I always make sure because those spots are tight. But if we're on a street, and I know this happens a lot, where, like, you know, you park on the street parallel and a car is next to you and you open your door and that car driving hits your door, who's at fault there when you're on a public street?
Oh, that's one of my favorite calls to get. It's the person who opened their door.
Yeah.
And they argue it all the time. It's an unsafe movement from, obviously, if you're sitting there and you're trying to exit your vehicle, you have to yield to cars in the lane. You can't just swing your door open without clearing it first. Same thing if a person on a bike was going by. That's happened a few times. Mm-hmm. Bicycle, right by, they open their car door. It's a pedestrian. You got to yield. You can't just open your door without clearing it.
In this situation where this teenager was demanding my information, did I have the legal right to citizen arrest him?
I mean, again, why? Every interaction you have with people in public. Don't citizen arrest anybody.
You really were doing the right thing by saying, I'm going to call the police. I'm going to make sure everybody gives me the proper documentation. It's all going to be noted in the report, and you're both welcome to print a copy.
You know, Kelly,
that's
telling you.
That's the smooth way to do it.
Here on out, every single time I have any confrontation, I'm just going to call the police, no matter what. When Raven starts giving me an attitude, get Cop Kelly on the phone right now.
My guess is that driver was a teenager who lives in Wilton. Just guessing.
You just put it on a town.
Yeah.
What's going on here? Both of you guys. A lot of assumptions.
Experience, Raven.
All right. Thanks, Kelly. We'll talk to you soon. I appreciate it.
Stay safe out there.
Bye.
I don't know a lot about dogs, but what I do know, and I've learned from experience, and you did not want to listen to me, is that dog therapists are a scam. I'm telling you, Star 99.9, it's Anna and Raven.
Yeah, it's been a trying time in my house right now. I don't know what happened here. Like, so one of my dogs is 5, and the other dog is 4 at this point right now. We've never had any trouble whatsoever until recently. All of a sudden, in the last couple months, one of the dogs has taken to marking all over the place, and another one of the dogs is getting aggressive. His brother is getting aggressive with him. Baxter is getting aggressive. Barkley is losing confidence. So we brought in some dog whisperers.
Which I told you not to do.
Well, we don't know what to do. I mean, we've probably enabled this bad behavior and created it ourselves. So we brought in, you know, like a superstar dog, you know, whisperer or whatever. And I should have known immediately from the neighbor, like he's located in and so forth. Like, you know, it was going to be pricey. All right. Mm-hmm. Gentleman comes in. He's a very nice gentleman. He's a third generation dog whisperer trainer here.
That's on his resume.
Right. Yeah. I don't know what his background is. It's storied. I believe his father was in the jungle hanging out with snakes and elephants and that type of stuff.
Makes sense.
He's got a very, very heavy accent, but he's brilliant. I mean, he's just one of these people that comes in and they start talking. And at first, you're trying to decipher what he's saying. And then you realize, like, all the shortcomings in the communication, it's not him. It's you.
Oh.
Because he clearly has a way with the animals.
Dr. Doolittle.
He came in and my dogs just laid down. They don't do that, man.
Oh.
All right? One of them just laid down for 45 minutes while he spoke. And then he looked at him when he started talking about him like, oh, Dad, get this guy out of here. He's a quack.
Yeah. And go ahead. What happened?
Well, first off, he doesn't believe that he can fix my dog's problems in a minute. He believes that he can fix the fact that the dog is marking. He believes that he can fix the fact that the dog is barking at people when he comes to the door real quick. But for my dog to regain the confidence to get groomed, you know, without any problems and you know, be friendly with everybody, the big problem, it's going to take at least a minimum of 10 sessions and probably more like 3.5 months. I believe the first month he said, like, what he really needs to concentrate on is just letting the dog know that they're now friends.
Okay, and how much does he want to charge you to make your dogs be friends? Say it.
$1,300 minimum, $3,700 possible.
Are you kidding me?
$3,700. So your dogs can play nice.
$100. No, so that Barkley can regain his confidence and feel good about himself.
Good. Self-help.
So that they can play well.
Dog therapist.
And that he will not eat anybody while they're grooming or anything like that.
Raven, here's the thing. You are blinded. You are blinded by this. Don't you remember when I went through this? I went to the Yale. My dog is a special needs dog. She is highly, highly fearful, right?
Right.
And here's the thing. I went to every dog therapist there was because I was a newbie. I had never had a pet before, and I was going to do everything to help my puppy. And how much did I spend?
thousands of dollars. My husband reminds me hourly how much I spent on that dog.
You just get a random text message.
Yeah. Now, did it work? Yeah. Did it work? Did it make the difference?
I told you, no. All these different people have all these different ideas, but you know what? No one can actually talk to dogs because they don't speak English.
I mean, this guy was so convincing that I was literally ready to move him into the guest room, and I think that would have been cheaper. Yep. Like, if he was coming from another country and I hired him to be a nanny or au pair, I'd be making out on this deal. At this rate, like, I mean, how am I going to handle it?
$3,700. You're going to do it or not? Say no. Listen to me.
I'm really worried about my dog.
Just give me $3,700.
If my kid was having a problem, I would immediately take. I wouldn't hesitate, right? You would not hesitate.
When I told you that I brought Lila to the therapist, the Yale therapist, and I spent $860 in one session, you laughed in my face as if I was a psychopath, right?
Yeah.
You laughed in my face.
Right.
And now you want to spend $3,700 so your dog builds confidence. Listen to yourself. Please take my advice this time.
I want him to feel good about himself.
Good. Give him a high five. Give him a high five. I find it so frustrating when there's a news headline, but then they don't really explain what happened after the fact. So you're just left hanging, you know?
Right. An undisclosed story, something that goes on. You leave it to the imagination. My wife hates it when they do that with movies and stuff like that.
Well, starting at 9.9, it's Anna and Raven. A pot-bellied brown pig was found on the street in Ridgefield.
What?
They took that piggy. And they brought the piggy to the local dog pound.
Okay.
Where they housed the pig.
I mean, you got to put the pig somewhere, right? So they figure, you guys know animals, things that are on 4 feet.
Yeah. So, and then finally, the owner came forward after the post went viral looking for the owner in Ridgefield.
Right.
And claimed the pig. So now, all that it says
is wait a minute. You don't notice your pig is gone until somebody puts it in the newspaper?
Well, that's all I kept saying. Well, it was on Facebook, please. This is 2019, Raven.
All right.
But all I kept thinking is, wait a minute. No. I need to know so many things. I need to know, how did this pig escape?
Right.
Where does this pig live? Why, is it just your pet? Does it live in your house? Like, I don't understand.
Well,
what is this pig's name? There's so many things I need to know.
Right. It's a whole book series that could really develop from this thing.
Yeah.
Potbelly pigs typically I think of as pets, even though they can get absolutely massive.
Well, this
piggy
is big.
Yeah.
The picture is big.
Yeah, now they start small, and then they get big. And that's the thing about pets like that. But the other thing is that pigs are extremely intelligent. So for all we know, this pig opened the door with his hoof.
Yeah.
Or he talked to Alexa and ordered Alexa to unlock the smart lock. I mean, anything could have happened.
There's so many things that I wonder. And all these news articles just say pot-bellied pig located in Ridgefield, brought to dog pound, claimed by owner. I'm like, did anybody even investigate if that owner was a farmer that was looking to slaughter poor Wilbur?
Okay.
And this was the escape?
Took it there.
Well, I mean, just trying to find Charlotte and save his life. No one thought about that.
Remember if I've been to the Ridgefield Animal Control or if it's all Roar. Because I have been to Roar, and that's a beautiful facility. I mean, if you're out of the house and you're looking for an overnight stay, you could do worse.
What if that piggy wanted to live at the dog pound?
I'm just saying.
No one ever thought of that.
Right. I'm bored at home.
Right.
Mom won't get off her cell phone.
Then the other thing I was thinking about was in Ridgefield. Do you remember there's that the camel guy that came on?
Yes.
They rescued a camel, and now they have a camel that lives on their property in Ridgefield.
Right, I do remember. Sheba? What was his name? Or something?
Yeah.
Sheba.
One Hump Farm is that. And all
or
I kept thinking.
Or something?
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's a camel.
Seemed like a friendly camel.
Ridgefield has pot-bellied pigs running around.
Yep.
They have camels. I'm like, maybe this is the coolest place in the world.
It could be.
Right?
Right. You're right.
Is that what Ridgefield has become now? Exotic pets location of Connecticut?
I feel like we need a BBC series, right? Somebody with a heavy accent to walk us through the different wildlife and things that are going on, like the adventures in Ridgefield, right? Because, I mean, all the different plot lines you gave me, there's a lot of backstory on this pot-bellied pig that we could go for. They gave meerkats an entire reality series,
all right?
Or prairie dogs and stuff like that. Nobody knows what they're saying, all right? They just run around and do cute eyes or whatever. Potbelly pig, if he worked out how to get out of his house.
Right.
I mean, that's a smart pig. For all we know, he was out planning a heist. We don't know what this pig's intentions
are.
The
Ocean's 11 pig.
It could be.
Or he was going wee, wee, wee all the way home.
Oh, God.
I can't let you get away with that. I just can't be part of that.
Oh, my God. Could you chew any louder?
Did you watch this without me?
Seriously, 6 more inches and it's in the sink.
Why do you do this? You squeeze from the bottom.
What do you want to get for dinner?
Let us solve your problems. Star 99.9, Honda of Westport Couples Court.
Valerie and David. Valerie, let's start with you. What's going on?
Oh, man. So my daughter recently has decided to become vegan.
Okay.
You know, I want to be supportive of her. I think she has every right to choose how she wants to eat, and it might be a phase. It might be long term. I don't know. Her only request is that we stop making bacon on Sundays. And I don't see that as a problem. She's not being a brat about it. She's very passionate about it. And I want her to feel empowered by making her own decisions. So right. That's not a big deal to me. My husband can make it during the week when she's at school. She's not telling him not to eat it. She's just asking to not make it in front of her.
How old is she?
She's 14. So, you know, she's getting older. And right. I want to support her.
I think it's great that she wants to do something good. And heck, she'll probably live longer than all of us if she goes vegan, right?
Exactly.
But I mean, bacon on Sundays before you go to church.
Is it the smell that bothers her or the like look?
It's the smell.
Oh, okay. David, what's the problem with this? What's the big deal?
Oh, I can tell you.
Yeah, there's no greater smell in the world than that, by the way. Mm. And I don't quite understand why, just because she's going through a little vegan thing and wants to eat grass and save turtles, that I have to suddenly change my diet.
No one is saying you have to change your diet. She's saying just please don't eat it in front of her. Two separate things.
Well, she's annoyed with the smell, so I can't cook it. No, it's not two separate things. Like, we can't do bacon on Sundays anymore. She cannot eat it, but I should be able to cook it.
Sounds a little spiteful. It's not like she's saying ban meat from your kitchen. She's saying just Anna, stop making bacon.
Yeah, what? Sunday, the house of the Lord, right? The day of the Sabbath and football.
I don't think they're making that
Thank
in
you very
church.
Much. All right. These are all problems. Don't encroach on my freedoms.
Yeah, I can't even cook it.
I
on
get
one
it.
Day. You can make it during the week. She's just asking when she's home to not make it. I don't think it's a huge deal. And you should be encouraging your daughter to do what she's passionate about. That's really the bottom line.
She's passionate about not having bacon. That's not
she has become so into the whole vegan thing. It's like her obsession as of late. So whatever she wants to do.
Well, what we do is we ask our audience what they think, and they may agree with you, Valerie. Just David, suck it up. Like, big deal. One day a week you can't make bacon.
Typical
you'll survive.
Wife thing to say.
All right, but they may see David's side too. If she wants to make this decision, it's her decision, but you're not going to change what you do under your house and under your roof.
That's right.
Because
my rule.
Because she wants to make a lifestyle change. Do you both agree to listen to what our audience has to say?
Yeah,
I do.
Great. Give us a call. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Honda of Westport Couples Court on Star 99.9.
All right. Valerie and David's 14-year-old daughter has decided that she's going vegan, and she has one request. Dad, stop making bacon on Sunday mornings.
I mean, it seems like a big request, though, honestly.
Is it really? One day she says that she can't stand the smell. She doesn't want it. It's not helping her cause. Mom says, David, just stop doing it. What's the big deal? And he thinks it is a big deal. He says, my house, because she's going through this phase. I'm not going to stop eating the way I always eat.
Listen, Sunday is the day of joy, all right? You're encroaching on a big day here.
Honda of Westport Couples Court. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's Hannah and Raven.
Mom and Dad's side. I just think that it's wonderful that she's decided to be a vegan, and I commend her for changing her eating habits, but that doesn't mean the rest of the family has to.
Right. It is one thing to impose your will upon everybody else when they're unwilling.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Honda of Westport Couples Court on Star. Valerie and David's 14-year-old daughter just said she's going vegan.
Wow.
Yep. And they're okay with it. They're like, do what you want. But problem is that she has insisted that her dad stop making bacon on Sunday morning. She said the smell is nauseating and she doesn't want to deal with it.
This is the thing about free will, all right? Free will is just that. Free will for you, free will for me. When you take your free will and you try and put your free will laws on my body, conflict arises.
David says, absolutely not. This is what we have on Sunday mornings. If you want to be vegan, that's one thing, but I'm not changing my ways. Valerie says, David, stop it. Support your daughter. Stop making bacon. Whose side are you on? Honda of Westport, Couples Court, 1-800-330-9999. Hey, Anna and Raven.
Hi, I'm on the wife and the daughter's side. My daughter also became vegan at 14, and I have to admit that at first I wasn't on board, and now I am totally on board. I've educated myself about, you know, the inhumane treatment of animals and the environment. But more importantly, the dad needs to respect the daughter's wishes. He can go to a diner if he wants to have bacon.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I am on the father's side. Good morning. My daughter went through that stage at 11 years. It lasted a good 10 years.
That's not a stage.
It was impossible.
10 years is not a stage.
I mean, right. 10 years is a portion of your life. I'm not sure if I would call that a stage or a phase, but...
She wasn't a vegan. She was vegetarian. She never bothered us with the way we cooked our food, but it was impossible to find something to feed her. I learned to cook my bacon in the oven.
Oh, but then you take away the smell. It's half the joy.
You're right.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on this morning?
I'm on the dad's side, only because if she requests him to stop eating bacon on Sundays, what's going to stop her from requesting him eating pork chops or chicken at dinner time?
Now you've enabled her. What's going to stop her from telling him how to dress the rest of his life?
Yeah.
What's going to stop her from telling him where to park his car in the driveway?
But that bacon smell is so distinctive.
We're eating turkey on Thanksgiving or ham on Christmas.
Right. Mind your business, kid. Don't tell me nothing.
Mm.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
David, our audience agreed with you. Shockingly, it's your
home. Thank
you. And if that's what you want to do, your daughter knows that that's kind of part of your weekly tradition, and it's not right for her to ask you to stop.
No, I'm going to double my bacon cooking now on Sunday. It's going to be so much bacon in there, and I'm going to love it.
Just so mature.
Yay, I win.
Right.
Winners win.
Live in it. All right, revel in your gluttony and don't worry about it.
If you have an issue, too, send an email at couplescore@star999.com.
You already know TMZ breaking news before it breaks.
Oh, we had a good thing going. Shake and bake.
Spend hours a day stalking your favorite celebs on Twitter.
Were people nice? No.
Did you make any friends?
Yeah.
Answer questions with obscure movie quotes.
Your situation would be concurrently improved if I had $200 in my back pocket right now.
It's time to use that useless knowledge and play Can't Beat Raven. Powered by Scap Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Star 99.9.
Jessica, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Jess.
Okay. Raven is walking on out of here. When that door closes, he won't be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You answer them as quickly as you can. I'll invite him back in and ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. But if you could beat him, we hook you up with a $100 gift card to Little Pub. You ready?
Yeah.
All right, Jessica, let's do it. Kanye West donated $1 million in Kim Kardashian's name to a charity that supports prison reform as her birthday present. Who is Kim's mom?
Kris Jenner.
Number 2, characters Tootie, Blair, Natalie, and Joe will reunite for a holiday special of this iconic 80s show.
Facts of Life.
Number 3, Macaulay Culkin got on stage with Lizzo and danced with her. He did the sprinkler dance move. In what 1994 movie did he play the wealthiest kid in the world?
Home Alone.
Number 4, Kylie Jenner is looking to trademark Rise and Shine from her viral video. In the old proverb, what does the early bird catch?
The worm.
And number 5, Cardi B just landed her next movie role opposite Vin Diesel in Fast and Furious 9. What movie is she currently in with J-Lo?
Hustlers.
All right, let's bring Raven back in. Good job, Jessica. Raven!
Awesome. Thanks.
How'd you do?
Jessica got 4 out of 5.
That's pretty good. Let's see how I do.
How come every time you walk out of here, you walk in with more food?
It's my time to get snacks.
Okay. Number 1, Kanye West donated $1 million in Kim Kardashian's name to a charity that supports prison reform as her birthday present.
Okay.
Who's Kim's mom?
Kim's mom is Kris Jenner.
That is correct. Number 2, characters Tootie, Blair, Natalie, and Joe will reunite for a holiday special of this iconic 80s show.
Blair and Tootie is Facts of Life.
That is correct. Number 3, Macaulay Culkin got on stage with Lizzo and danced with her. He did the sprinkler dance move.
Nice.
Very nice. Yep. In what 1994 movie did he play the wealthiest kid in the world?
The wealthiest kid in the world. Richie Rich.
Richie Rich is correct. That's the one that Jessica missed. Number 4, Kylie Jenner is looking to trademark Rise and Shine from her viral video.
How do you do that?
I don't know. I don't know how you do it. It's like every time
How about we trademark that? Right.
Yeah. In the old proverb, what does the early bird catch?
The worm.
That is right. All right, you guys are tied at 4. You need this last one to beat Jessica, Raven. Number 5, Cardi B just landed her next movie role opposite Vin Diesel in Fast and Furious 9.
I saw that.
What movie is she currently in with J-Lo?
Hustlers.
I'm sorry, Jessica. He took you down 5-4 this morning.
That's okay. I'm Jessica from Bridgeport, and I can't beat Raven.
Well, thank you for trying. We appreciate it.
Better luck next time.
Make sure you're listening at 5:30 today to the Cheat Sheet with Kevin Begley. I'll give you the first two answers to tomorrow's five pop culture questions.
Good stories, good thoughts, good news. In a world filled with negativity, it's time to tell Anna and Raven something good. Tell me something good. Powered by Walnut Hill Community Church.
Well, this is good news, but it's also really scary what happened. It happened at Raven's High School. Here, check this out.
This morning, a school resource officer being credited with saving the life of a teacher at Vinyl Technical High School in Middletown. State police said it happened in a carpentry shop yesterday. Teacher got his hand stuck in a wood planer. State police say Trooper Alejandro Bugatti quickly applied a tourniquet to that teacher's arm to prevent rapid blood loss. We're told class was not in session.
What's a wood planer? You know, I have no idea.
Wood planer. So do you know what a miller or a milling machine is?
No.
Okay, so it basically takes raw lumber and it makes it ready for construction. So a planer is like something that would flatten something out. It will take the edge off of something. It's got a
like
very
a nail
sharp
file.
Blade.
Like a nail file?
It's more like a guillotine, but for wood.
Okay.
You know, guillotine drops, takes the head off, that type of thing. This takes the edge off of wood.
Oh my gosh, how terrifying.
Yeah.
And imagine like one of your coworkers is the one that saves you. That, you know, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's funny too because, you know, a school resource officer is oftentimes part of, you know, a controversy. Do you want a cop in your school? Do you not want a cop in your school? Do you want to pay for a cop in your school?
Yeah.
Do you want this type of thing? So, you know, obviously, school resource officer, I can't really point to a time when it's a bad idea.
No, definitely
I mean,
not.
Somebody that's ready to jump in there and help, very scary. Very, very scary. Good thing that class wasn't in session on top of it, too. That would have freaked a lot of people out.
Of course. What was, like, the craziest thing that happened during one of your classes? Do you remember anything? You were at Vinyl Tech.
Yeah, and I was in HVAC. My class was crazy, but we never had any serious injuries. I do remember there was a couple guys that said they got electrocuted in electrical, but you know that's really their own fault. And electricians, they take that as, you know, part of the job when you're electricians, that type of thing.
Yeah,
there's always a couple, you know, technical high school. There's always a couple trips to the hospital throughout the year.
Good.
It's just normal. More when they're freshmen and sophomores. But, you know, it depends. It could be around skip week. I do remember that when we all skipped for senior skip day, the truant officer met us at the beach.
Oh, see?
And then took roll call.
Oh, nice.
And we all got in trouble.
I'm sure. make sure you
give all right.
Your high school, your school, I should say, resource officer a high five. Because, look, not only do they just make sure everything's all right, they stepped in and saved this teacher's life.
Yeah, no kidding, man. So, good story. Well, bad story, good ending. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.